Once again, I appreciate so very much the invitation to be here this week. And again, you have made our stay here thus far. You've been so receptive to the lessons, and we appreciate that so very much. And you've just treated us like home folks, and that's the way we like to be treated. And we appreciate each and every one of you and all the good wishes that you've put our way. We had the opportunity to do a little visiting with Tim and Harold today. Met some folks, and it's always good to meet folks you hadn't met before. And we appreciate Tim and Harold and the good work that is being done here in this area. I know that there are many souls out here in this area that are good and honest. We would continue to encourage you to faithfully proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Just keep on preaching the word, and God will give the increase. One of the great truths of the Bible, of which we constantly need to be reminded, is the second coming of Jesus. In spite of the great amount of vain speculation as to when Jesus is coming, the emphasis in the Bible is not when he's coming, but the fact that he is coming the second time. As a matter of fact, the Bible clearly states that no one knows when Christ is going to come. And so all of those who would try to anticipate the date of Christ's coming, in their predictions, will fail 100% of the time. They failed plenty in the past. If they try to predict when Christ will come in the future, they will continue to fail, because the Bible teaches us that we simply do not know when he is coming. However, we know that he is coming. In the book of Revelation, there are four references in which Jesus states that he is coming. Revelation 3 and verse 11. "Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown." Behold, I come quickly. Behold, I'm coming quickly. Revelation 22 and verse 7. "Behold, I'm coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book." Revelation 22 and verse 12. "And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his works." And then finally in Revelation 22 and verse 20, "He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus." You know, each of the passages that we have just read, they serve as a source of hope to those of us who are even now waiting for the Lord to come. The last passage, Revelation 22:20, is given at the very close or near the close of the book of Revelation. And within this passage, there are actually three truths that are so clearly stated in the verse. First of all, there is the certainty of his coming, and is found in the words, "Surely I am coming." Secondly, there's the manner of his coming, and that's revealed by the word "quickly." And then finally, there is the desire for his coming, found in the statement, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." In this study, it's going to be our aim to look at these great truths that we find here that are so clearly expressed in this passage, study some related verses which I hope will strengthen our faith in the fact of the Lord's return. But more than that, to hopefully create within us a resolve to be ready when the Lord comes, whenever that is, but to be ready when he comes. So let's look at each one of these. And we begin with the certainty of the coming of the Lord, found in the words, "Surely I come." Let's consider the meaning of this statement, "Surely I come." Surely, according to Strong, who is a Greek scholar, he says that Greek word that's translated "surely" is a primary participle of strong affirmation. Well, what does that mean? It means that it's a strong statement and it's a certain statement, that there's not any doubt about the statement that's being made. It's actually used twice in this verse. The word translated "even so" is the same Greek word that is translated "even so come Lord Jesus." I should say the same word that's translated "surely" is also translated "even so." And when Jesus says, "Surely I come," what he's indicating is that his coming is absolutely certain, that there can be no reasonable doubt regarding the fact or the certainty of it. Our Lord is coming, and he states it in no uncertain terms. And of course, there are many other passages that strongly affirm the fact of the Lord's second coming. Jesus himself strongly affirmed his second coming in John chapter 14, in verses 1 through 3. When he addressed his disciples, he said to them, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you," notice, "I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Now, Jesus said this in view of the fact that he was telling his disciples, "I'm going to leave. I'm going to die on the cross, and then I'm going to ascend into heaven. And when I ascend into heaven, I'm going to prepare a place for you. But I am going to come again so that you can go back with me." The angels of God strongly affirmed the Lord's second coming there at the time that Jesus ascended into heaven, over in Acts chapter 1 and verse 11. "And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, 'Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven?'" Now notice, this same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. Now you notice here the angels didn't say, "Well, we think that this same Jesus is going to come back." They didn't say, we hope that he will come," but they said, "He will come." And they were giving assurance of the fact that just as surely as Jesus ascended into heaven, that was as certain that he was coming again the second time. The inspired apostles, of course, strongly affirmed the second coming of Jesus. For example, we read over in 1 Thessalonians 1, 9 and 10. Where the Apostle Paul is writing by the direction of the Holy Spirit, and he said, "For they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entering in we had to you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and the true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivered us from the wrath to come." And so here's a passage that indicates to us that we are to wait for the coming of the Lord. He is coming again. The Hebrew writer in Hebrews 9 and verse 28. "So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation." So again, Jesus is coming again. He's going to appear a second time. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. The Bible says in verse 10, "When he comes in that day, to be glorified in his saints and to be admired among all of those who believe, because our testimony was believed in that day." Again, when he comes, that is Christ in the context. When he comes, he is coming again. And finally, Revelation 1 and verse 7. "Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him." Now notice again, "even so, amen." That's the certainty of it. And so the Lord is coming again. When Jesus said, "Surely I come," he expressed the certainty of his coming. And refusing to believe that he's coming, or having doubts about the fact of his coming, is not going to change the certainty of his coming. Jesus is coming again. Now, "Surely I come," he said. Let's look at the manner of his coming that we find there in Revelation chapter 22 And the manner of his coming is found in the words, "I come quickly." The first thing that I think we can learn from that is that Jesus is personally coming. He said, "I come." He didn't say someone else is going to come as a substitute for me. He said, "I am coming quickly." And so there is no one who can possibly take the place of the Lord as he comes to judge the world. No one else can be the judge that Jesus Christ is. And so Jesus is coming. He is the great judge of mankind. Again, back in Acts chapter 1, the angels testified that this same Jesus, not a different Jesus, but the same one that you saw go up into heaven, is the very same one that's going to come back the second time. Again, Revelation 1 and verse 7 identifies that one who will come in the clouds. And the Bible says, "Every eye shall see him, and they that pierced him." Now, "they that pierced him," that identifies who it is that's being talked about in Revelation 1 and verse 7 when it says he's going to come in the clouds. What does that "pierced" mean? It refers to the fact that when Jesus Christ died on the cross, that the soldiers came and they pierced his side. The Bible says there came out blood and water. They pierced him. They crucified him is the meaning there. And so this is the same Jesus, not a different Jesus. Now notice that Jesus, he's personally coming. But not only that, he is coming quickly. He's coming quickly. There are three words that we might put down that are synonymous, not only quickly, but suddenly and unexpectedly. You see, the word "quickly" in this passage, it does not refer directly to time, but it refers to the manner in which our Lord is coming. And rather than carrying the idea that Jesus is coming soon, it means that he's going to come suddenly. He's going to come in an instant. There is also the implication in the word "quickly" that when Christ comes, it will be an unexpected coming. Now, there are many passages that speak to the manner in which Christ will come as being quickly, suddenly, unexpectedly. And we know that his coming is going to be a surprise to many people. There are many people in our world who have yet to hear about Jesus Christ, believe it or not. There are those who do not really believe that Jesus Christ ever lived upon the face of the earth. There are those who say that Jesus Christ was just a good prophet. He was a man of God, but that's all he was. And everyone who believes those things is going to be surprised when they see Jesus come with the clouds and they recognize who he really is. Notice also in this passage in Matthew 24:44, "Therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect." You see, his coming is unexpected. Now I hear those in our day and time who talk about the signs of the times. Matter of fact, we heard that today while we was out visiting. They talk about the signs of the times. The idea, of course, from Matthew chapter 24, Jesus is giving certain signs that everybody can see would signify that the time of his coming is imminent, that it is upon us. This verse says that he's coming in an hour that you do not expect him to come. Now, what does that say about the so-called signs of his coming? If there's signs of his coming that pinpoint the period of time when he's going to come, then how can his coming be unexpected at a time we do not expect? And so the Bible here is very clear that the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect him to come. Look at this passage from 1 Thessalonians 5:2, where the Bible says, "For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night." And I know you've heard it said before, but the illustration is the coming of a thief. And how many thieves will give you signs of their coming? How many will call you up on the phone and say, "I'm going to be at your house at this certain time to break in"? I'm going to steal everything you got in your house. How many do that? Well, there's some pretty stupid thieves out there, but I don't think any's that stupid. You see, the Bible says his coming is like that of a thief in the night. There's not going to be any warning. That is, there's not going to be any signs that would indicate the time of his coming. 2 Peter 3 and verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise. The elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Again, the Lord's coming is a thief in the night. And by the way, just as a side note here, when the Lord comes as a thief in the night, whenever that is, what's going to happen to this material universe? The Bible says it's going to pass away with a great noise. The elements, the very basic building blocks that make up this material universe, they are going to melt with fervent heat. Everything of a material nature is going to be completely and utterly burned up. That is, it is going to cease to exist. Friends, Jesus is not coming back the second time to set a kingdom up on this earth. He is coming back the second time to judge the world. He is coming back the second time to destroy this material universe. And he's coming back the second time to take those who are faithful to him in this life home to be with him in heaven, to that place that he's prepared. Now, there is an exception regarding the manner of Christ coming, catching folks unaware. There are those whom the second coming should not catch unaware. And I'm talking about that in a special sense. Do you know what that is? In 1 Thessalonians 5, notice what the Bible says beginning in verse 1. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write unto you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night. And so Paul is saying here, again, writing by the direction of the Holy Spirit, I don't need to write to you about when Christ is coming, because his coming will be unexpected. His coming will be like that of a thief in the night. When they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. Now here's the exception that I'm talking about in verse 4. It says, but you, brethren, are not in darkness so that this day should overtake you as a thief. In other words, if you are truly aware of the fact that Jesus Christ is coming, and if you are ready for his coming, then you will not be caught unawares. You'll be caught prepared. You'll be ready. And so there is the idea of watchfulness on the part of the child of God. Indeed, the Bible says, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. And so be on your watch, be on your guard, always be aware is the idea here, that Christ could come at any time. And then also the preparation is talked about. Look at Matthew chapter 24 and verse 44. Therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect. No, we'll never know when Christ is coming until he comes. But we can be watching for his coming, and we can be prepared when he comes. So Jesus is coming personally. Jesus is coming quickly. Let me ask you, are you watching for his coming? Are you ready for his coming? Now notice in the last place, the desire for Jesus to come, which is expressed to us in the words, even so, come, Lord Jesus. As each of us look and examine ourselves, let's not think about the other person sitting next to us or across the room, but let each one of us think about our own lives and our own thoughts and what is on our minds. And I want to ask you, do you have that genuine longing within you for the return of Jesus Christ? I imagine most of us would say we'd like to live here upon this earth as long as we can, because this is all we've ever known. But every child of God ought to have a genuine longing within them to see the Lord come in the clouds to take us home. Because as the song says, this is not our home, we're just passing through. Our home is somewhere else. Our permanent dwelling place is not here upon the face of this earth. But let me ask you, how often do you think about the second coming of Christ? How often do you think about His coming? Did you think about it today? As you were going about your normal routine, whether it was at your job or you retired people, whether it was at the restaurant or wherever it might be, did you think about the second coming of Christ today? What about yesterday? What about the day before? I would think that most who are faithful to the Lord think about his coming very often. But is it something that occupies your mind every single day that you live here upon the face of this earth? Do you rise each morning with the realization that this could be the day when the Lord comes back? Or as you lay your head down to sleep at night, do you do so with the understanding that you could be awakened? That you could be awakened by that shout of the Lord, by the trumpet sound, by the voice of the archangel? Do you think often about the second coming of Jesus Christ? You know, so often we are so concerned about the things of this life that we actually fail to give the proper consideration to the certainty of the return of Jesus. And the writer of Revelation, he says, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." And again, that word translated "even so" is the same word that's translated "surely." It is a strong affirmation. And the idea is that the writer is saying, yes, do come, Lord Jesus. It's the idea of, I can't wait for your coming. It expresses a longing for the coming of the Lord. When you look at what John wrote there in the book of Revelation, and we know that he was directed in his writing by the Holy Spirit, that it was the Lord who gave John this revelation. But in those words, "even so, come, Lord Jesus," we see the fact that John recognized not only the certainty of the coming of Jesus, but he wanted him to come. And that was one of his great desires in life, no doubt, to see the Lord come. Why would John feel that way? Well, I think that there are several things that can be said about that. And it's really why you and I should have such a longing for the coming of the Lord. What does the coming of the Lord mean to those who are faithful to God? Well, one thing it clearly means is that we will be with Christ. You know, in this life, we have the hope of being with Christ. We have the hope of eternal life. We're not there yet. But when Christ comes back the second time, that is the point in our existence when we will be able to go back to that place He's prepared for us. Not only that, but the Bible would indicate to us very clearly that when Christ comes, that every struggle of life that we've had to endure will be behind us. It will be over with. And you know what? We'll never have to endure those things again. Never. That's what the coming of the Lord means to us. And then finally, it means an entrance into heaven will be complete. As I said, our hope will be realized. And we will be able to exist in the presence of God and Christ, the Holy Spirit, the faithful of all ages who've gone on before us. We'll be able to converse, hopefully, with those around about us. I'm sure we will. Maybe talk with Abraham, with Joseph, with Jesus himself. What a wonderful thought. When we look at Paul, Philippians chapter 1, 22 and 23, notice what he said. He said, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Now I know you've read that passage many, many times, and you recognize, as I do, that when the Bible says, or when Paul said there as he wrote, "And to die is gain," he was talking about heaven. He was talking about himself as a faithful child of God, leaving behind the confines of this life and going on to be with the Lord. And he said there in verse 22, "But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. And yet, what I shall choose, I cannot tell. For I am hard-pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you." When you read that, can you see the longing in the words of the Apostle Paul to be with Christ? And the second coming of Christ will mean that we will be with him. That will be our gain. And there is no greater gain. Do we truly long? Do we truly desire for our Lord to come? Can we say along with John, "Even so come, Lord Jesus"? Now, what have you and I learned in this study? One thing we have learned is that it is certain that Jesus is coming again. Another thing we have learned is that his coming is going to be personal and unexpected. We have also learned that each of us should desire and long for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. However we choose to react to this great truth concerning the fact of the Lord's second coming is not going to change either the fact of it nor the certainty of it. Whether I believe it or not, it's not going to make any difference as far as the coming of the Lord is concerned. He's going to come. And if everybody in the world doubted the fact of the coming of the Lord, he's still going to come. And it's going to happen. And you know what? Every one of us are going to see it. Every one of us are going to see it. And those who are dead, when the Lord comes, they're going to see it. They're going to see him as he is. You know, the Bible tells us in John chapter 5, verses 28 and 29, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and come forth." When will that be? At his second coming. And the Bible goes on there and says, those who have done right, those who have done good, those who have lived faithful to the Lord, they are going to be resurrected to life, but those who have done evil to the resurrection of damnation. So even if a person is dead when the Lord comes, he's going to be raised and he's going to know and see the Lord as he comes. And if you are alive at his coming, guess what? You're not going to be able to hide from him. You know, the book of Revelation talks about those who would call for the rocks and the hills to fall upon them, to cover them from the face of the Lord. And I am sure that there will be those who, when the Lord comes, they'll have such terror in their heart because they know they've not lived as God would have them to live, and they'll do that same thing. How can we hide from the face of the Lord, the great judge of mankind? I stand condemned. I stand lost in his sight. Hide me. But we won't be able to hide from him. The Bible says every eye shall see him. And they also which pierced him. And all nations of the earth will wail because of him. There are two reactions then that will occur at the second coming of Christ as far as all of us are concerned. There will be those who have such a powerful dread and fear when they see the Lord coming, because they're not ready for his coming. On the other hand, there will be those who have an unmatched joy, an ultimate happiness. Their hearts will be filled with such emotion to see the Lord, whom they have believed in, whom they have served in this life, coming in the clouds. And they'll know, the Lord is coming for me. And he's going to take me home. Which you and I experience of those two depends upon whether or not we have accepted and obeyed the gospel of Christ and whether we're living faithful as his children. I think most of us in this room tonight would realize that the Lord wants every single one of us to go home with him. There is not a person in the world that the Lord doesn't want to see saved eternally. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now when he says he's not willing that any should perish, that means you. And it means me. And it means every other person who's living in this life. But friend, if you have not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, you're not prepared to meet him. Remember, we don't know when he's coming, but we know that he is. But you're not ready. You're not ready if you have not submitted yourself to the Lord and his will. You see, the key to having eternal salvation is preparation. And when it all boils down to it, that's the very reason for our existence here upon the face of this earth. We're not here to prepare to live forever on this earth. We are here to prepare ourselves to live forever with God in heaven. That's the purpose. And so whatever I do in my life, it ought to be directed to that ultimate end, that ultimate goal of heaven. But you may ask the question, well, what do I need to do to be prepared? And of course, the Lord has revealed to us in his word exactly what we must do. We don't have to guess about it. And the Lord has revealed it so plainly because he wants us to do it. He wants us to go to heaven with him. It begins by hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Of course, Romans 10:17 says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith created within us that Jesus Christ is the Son of God has its source in God's word. But you know, Jesus said in Mark 16 and verse 16, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be condemned. And so we must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then we must repent of our sins. Acts 17:30, at the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. And why is it necessary to repent? Because the very next verse says that the Lord is coming in judgment. We need to repent of our sins in view of the fact that we will stand before the judgment bar of Christ. And we'll receive the things done in the body, whether good or bad. And so repent. The Bible also tells us that we must confess our faith that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And there in Acts chapter 8, in the case of the Ethiopian eunuch, we find a great example of a man who desired to be saved from his sins. He wanted to be baptized. And he said, see, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized? And Philip, who was teaching him, said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. There is the good confession that we read about in our Bibles. And then, if you would receive the forgiveness of sins, as we talked about last night, you need to reach the blood of Jesus. And God has seen fit to put the place where you meet the blood of Jesus in obedience to the command to be baptized in water. There in baptism, according to Romans 6:3-4, we reach the death of Jesus. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Jesus shed his blood in his death. And so when we are baptized in water, we are baptized into the blood of Jesus. We reach the blood of Jesus. Our sins are washed away. We arise then, as verse 4 says, to walk in newness of life. And you know what we've done? We prepared ourselves for the coming of Jesus. Our Lord has forgiven us of our sins when we obey those commands that he has put forth for us. And we stand justified in the sight of the Lord. And if he were to come at that very moment, we would go to heaven and be with him. The Lord is coming again. He is coming. And if you have not done the things that we've just read about, you're not ready for his coming. And I want to encourage you tonight to make that preparation, to obey the Lord. Make up your mind that from this point on in your life, you're going to make the changes you need to make to live faithful as a child of God and to go home to be with him in heaven. You see, that's a choice that each one of us can make. I want to read one more passage. It's found in 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. And it says, love has been perfected among us in this. And notice, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. That's a wonderful passage. And it's a passage of great assurance. And the word boldness there, it carries the idea simply of confidence. That we can have confidence in the day of judgment because we have decided to follow the Lord. We have been washed clean of our sins by his precious blood. And while we live in this world, we still are not of the world. Let me say just a word to those who are children of God. Because the fact is that if we allow sin back in our lives, if we allow sin to be that which directs us and governs us as we participate in it, then we can lose that hope of heaven. And the preparation that we had made before will be meaningless should the Lord return and find us in that spiritual undone condition. And to come back to the Lord, he's made provisions. Because again, the Lord is not willing that any should perish. He wants his children to go home with him. And so, if you're willing to confess the sin that separated you from God, if you're willing to repent of it, if you're willing to seek his forgiveness through the avenue of prayer, then he has promised that he will forgive your sin and restore you to his spiritual fellowship. One thing that we need to constantly keep in mind, the Lord is coming again. Make preparation as together we stand and as we sing.